WrestlingObserver.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
I bought a one-way home tonight. I'm not sleeping alone. I'm on my way back, baby. I'm on my way back, baby. I've been lost out on the road. It's been
good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Interesting theme music tonight, huh?
Just a little bit.
This is the brand new theme song for Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw Post Show. She's Lindsay Ward. I am Sorokin. This show is presented by PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling figure review needs. Matt Colberg is the man.
He is. We love him.
He is tremendous, and he supports everything we do here on the network. And Monday Night Raw opened with a huge surprise. That's right, it was Daniel Bryan's theme. It was Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's back on Monday Night Raw. No.
How about no?
No, no, in fact, it was Stephanie McMahon in her Steph shirt, which was tremendous. She did the yes points all around the ring. It was fantastic, to say the least. She was very, very happy.
Well, of course she's happy. She won.
Yes, yes, she did. She was excited. She celebrated her victory tonight, and she thanked everyone for chanting her name, Steph, when she came out. She wants to talk about what happened last night at SummerSlam. SummerSlam was one of the most epic pay-per-views in WWE history.
Yeah, it was, oh my God, yes.
And we'll talk more about that Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack.
They have been so much better than Battleground, so much better.
They've been monitoring social media all day, and people have been saying that SummerSlam was actually better than WrestleMania. How about that? And we crowned a new WWE World Champion, and tonight the Authority will present a new championship to the one and only Brock Lesnar. She wished John Cena a quick recovery from the brutal beatdown he suffered last night. She's not sure if John Cena will recover from that. And also, she's not sure if Chris Jericho will recover from the lesson in humility he received from one Bray Wyatt. And Dean Ambrose learned that Seth Rollins was the man who ran the Shield. But the biggest loser of last night was her opponent, Brie Bella. Brie learned firsthand you don't mess with the Authority. Not mentally, emotionally, and not physically. And you can watch what happened at SummerSlam where she beat Brie Bella on the WWE Network for only
$9.99.
Now, at that point, she says she could not do it by herself. She thanked her husband, who's been her rock, standing by her side and being faithful the entire time, unlike Daniel Bryan. Daniel cheated on Brie because he found out who Brie really is. And then Stephanie decided that it's time to bring out the person who knows Brie Bella the best, and that's her sister, Nikki, to explain why she did what she did last night.
From the minute we came to WWE, it was supposed to be the Bella Twins against the world. And you know what? It's never been that way. I mean, I've always been there for Brie. As a sister, I have always cared for her. I have always loved her. But secretly, she didn't become the woman that I wanted her to be. I mean, God, Brie is just so selfish, so manipulative. And you know what? Ever since we've been kids, it's always been about Brie. Always. And every time Brie got in trouble, she always blamed me. Always. And she's always competed with me. She always wants to be better than me. And you know what? I am just so sick of her constantly telling me that I'm never going to get married, that I'm never going to have a husband.
That must hurt you so much. I mean, do you think that she was competing with you to be the first one to the altar?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, without a doubt. I mean, Steph, in all honesty, I won in that situation. You know why? Because she married that scraggly, goat-faced Daniel Bryan.
A man of no integrity who clearly, clearly was cheating on her.
Oh, I mean, clearly. And you know what? I mean, Brie's cunning. I mean, look, she weaseled her way into a match with you, Stephanie.
A match that I handily beat your sister,
right.
that you can all relive again and again and again, as I will, on the WWE Network for $9.99.
Right. But Stephanie, I'm heartbroken over the situation.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I could give you so many examples of how Brie has mistreated me my whole life. But now, I stand tall on my own two feet.
That's right.
I mean, I could say that I lost a sister, but I never really had one. And now, without that burden of Brie around my neck, I am free! Free! And you know what, Stephanie? It feels so damn good!
You have destroyed our family. For what? I don't even know. And your last night, I can forgive you, Nikki. I can forgive you for all the
you
lies.
You can forgive
just...
me?
Yes. I just...
I will never forgive you!
And at that point, Brie walks up the aisle crying after being slapped down by her own sister. I enjoyed this opening segment. I know a lot of people probably didn't. I enjoyed this.
I really liked it. I thought it was a great way to sort of start Nikki's heel turn off. I mean, obviously it is the very standard, very safe, you know, I did it because she was a bad sister deal, but it works here. And to have Nikki be angry about it, it helps to sell it. Because you have Brie, who is obviously heartbroken that her sister has done this to her. And as LeMans is pointing out, she should have gotten angry. give her time. She will get angry after this, because initially your first reaction with family is not necessarily to get angry, especially before you hear them out. It's something of Brie probably wanting to give Nikki the benefit of the doubt and try and straighten everything out with her, and now that that's clearly severed, now you will see Brie Bella get angry, and now you will see Brie and Nikki go to war.
Heartbreak leads to anger.
Yeah, she's got to go through the stages of grief, and right now she hasn't hit anger yet. I would expect that she hits anger probably in the next week to 2 weeks. Because here's the thing with this. This is going to Night of Champions, probably. And they have, what, 6 weeks till Night of Champions?
Five.
Yeah, so they have a little bit of time that they can sort of build this and let this simmer between the two. So you have to be really careful, because you can't have Brie get mad, too mad too quick.
We can't blow it right away. This is not just Night of Champions, this is probably a very long-term process.
Yeah, so having Nikki go out there, having Nikki basically explained, you know, she's tired of being in Brie's shadow. You know, the only line that irritated me was she didn't turn out to be the woman that I thought she should be, or something to that effect, and that's just because it reminded me of somebody that I used to know, and it was literally like her voice came out of Nikki Bella's mouth there for a minute. So, but...
Oh my god. No. Anyway. Be good.
Yeah, be good. We're on the air. So you can do it after we go off the air. But, I thought this was really good. I really did. I enjoyed it. My only criticism of this, somebody needs to get Nikki Bella the heel caps. Because clearly she forgot to put them on before she walked out. Because her heel got stuck in the ramp, and she lost her shoe on her entrance.
Oops. Well, so much for that. Anyway, good stuff. First time in a long time, just three women open up Raw in the opening segment. That's kind of cool. Times are changing.
Hey.
And we just, and the angle was repeated throughout the night as well. Ow. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as a female fan, that's kind of awesome to see.
Our opening contest is a rematch from Friday Night SmackDown. Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, the Wyatt family, with Pretty Pretty Lights taking on Mark Henry and The Big Show.
Oh my goodness, they had a lot of lights.
They had a lot of lights, and they had a fight tonight.
My only issue with this, because this was a good match, and you had Luke and Eric have a much better showing than they did on SmackDown, and they really put up a lot of offense. We got to see a lot more between Luke and Eric's relationship with each other and how Luke kind of guides Eric.
Just a little bit. We also saw the strength of Eric Rowan in this match as he body slammed The Big Show.
Yeah. This is where I point out, he can body slam The Big Show, but by God, he cannot hold a cage door shut on John Cena. Bullshit. I call bullshit on that John Cena match. I will call bullshit till the end of time on that cage match. Sorry, continue.
No, go ahead. You were continuing a point about the relationship and stuff. What was your one complaint?
My one complaint, and this is just about the series as a whole, is I don't like the fact that they're using the Wyatts to job out to Henry and Show. They had a great showing with them, don't get me wrong, but it's like if you're looking for them to be dominant over someone, build up to the Wyatts. Don't start out of the gate with the Wyatts, because here's the thing. Where do they move on to after them?
It's a good point.
Other than the Usos, because it's like, well, there's clearly a line, so it's if you're going to build up, like, I get you need to find Rowan and Harper something to do. You know, find them something to do. Maybe actually have them get a win and have these two trade wins back and forth.
And I think come main event when Harper's in action, I think.
Yeah.
Against Big Show? or Mark Henry, one of the two, that's where the victory will come.
Yeah, it's just, I don't... The Wyatts need kind of all the help that they can get right now, and jobbing Rowan and Harper out to Big Show and Henry does not do them any favors. Doesn't really hurt them because they do well in the match, and it takes both Henry and Show to put down Eric.
It does, because it took the WMD, World's Most Dangerous Punch or whatever, and the Hall of Pain, or World's Strongest Slam, rather, and took out Eric Rowan. But there was the one moment where he had Rowan up, and Luke came in with the boot, laid him out. I was like, one, two, three, no. Like, he kicked out, and Luke's reaction was like, I have an idea.
Yeah, I love it when Luke does that. With his little hand gestures and his face and everything, yeah, I love it when Luke does that. When he gets really expressive, and again, Luke, you know, when Eric was pinning, I think it was Big Show?
Mm-hmm.
And Luke's like, okay, now do it again. Like, he's walking Eric through the match. It was the most adorable thing I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, I kind of agree with LeMans on this, where they say, you know, that they may push the Wyatts more when Bray gets tied to run, and then you have all three Wyatts on top together, similar to the Shield. Possibly. You know, but here's the thing, they may not. Bray is obviously, they're pushing Bray somewhat hard still, but they've seemed to sort of let Luke and Eric slow down a little bit. And they may be looking to push them again when the Ascension comes up, because supposedly the Ascension is coming up very soon.
So we'll see what happens with that. Good match, good open. We then come back from break. We have seen Ziggler and Ric Flair talking in their locker room when The Miz enters.
Why? Why would you bring Ric Flair to Vegas?
Why? Because Miz said that Dolph is not worthy of the Intercontinental title. It's going to come home to a real A-lister being The Miz. Dolph says The Miz isn't an A-lister, he's just an A-hole.
Very true.
We then have Renee Young interviewing Mr. Money in the Bank.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest at this time, Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins. Seth, you were victorious last night at SummerSlam in your lumberjack match against Dean Ambrose. Congratulations.
Renee, thank you. Thank you very much. It feels so good. Because I did what I told the entire world I was going to do. I didn't run. I didn't hide. I stood, planted my 2 feet in the center of that ring inside Dean Ambrose's little wall of flesh. And I proved that not only am I the future WWE World Heavyweight Champion, but I'm the future of the entire WWE.
What? It's for charity.
Whoa! Oh! Oh, man!
And then the two of them continued to brawl before they were pulled apart. Line of the night. Why? It was for charity.
Charity. Oh, Dean. You crazy, glorious bastard, you. That was, yeah, it's completely unexpected, and it's just amazing. This was good. This was really, really, really good. And I'd like to add that, Seth, you actually did run away. You had to be carried back to the ring by the Lumberjacks. Just pointing that out.
Not by his choice, though.
Not by his choice.
So the impromptu ice bucket challenge laid down by Dean Ambrose for Seth Rollins. Many other wrestlers are getting into it as well, including Triple H has done it, Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, Edge and Christian, with help from Beth Phoenix, Tommy Dreamer, and, of course, Bo Dallas, because he challenged...
Bray Wyatt. Now the question is will Bray Wyatt accept?
We shall find out. Someone needs to have the guts enough to challenge The Undertaker. And I think, I would hope Shawn Michaels does it, because he's scheduled to do the Ice Bucket Challenge here soon, too.
Who challenged Shawn?
Hunter. Didn't he?
No, he didn't challenge Shawn.
Someone challenged Shawn. I know that.
Oh, I'm sure somebody did. I just want to see if Shawn challenges Taker.
Someone needs to
and
get Taker.
And if Shawn doesn't do it, Austin needs to.
Someone needs to challenge The Undertaker. We come back from break. Seth Rollins is all kinds of mad as he interrupts Kane and Triple H talking in the office. He wants to know if they saw what happened. Says they need to just take Dean out of the equation. Hunter told him, just relax. He'll have a rematch with Dean Ambrose tonight. And, well, won't be a lumberjack match. He said that the people like Dean Ambrose because he's unpredictable in his attitude, and the people will choose the stipulation tonight. And those stipulations are no DQ, falls count anywhere, and no holds barred.
Aren't those like three the same thing?
Shh. Just putting that out. Don't tell anyone. Apparently Michelle McCool's been called out by Tori Wilson, so there you go.
Maybe she challenges The Undertaker.
That would be kind of cool. Kane wishes Seth Rollins good luck. Up next, we have Natalya versus Paige in a non-title match. Solid match between the duo until one AJ Lee comes skipping down to the ring. Paige gets distracted. Natalya rolls her up for the victory. Natalya wins. Who had brand new gear, by the way?
She's looking good in the gear. Go Natty.
She was showing all kinds of leg tonight.
She was. Well, she put a picture of it out on Twitter, and I was like, so is it shorts, or did she just not get the tights yet? And it's like, it's shorts. Natty's showing leg.
How about that? Total Divas is coming back September 7th. That means the Rack Extra Total Divas will come back as well. Check out RackRadioShow.com to go listen to the archives of the past two seasons of the Rack Extra right now.
Please.
So, after the match, AJ takes the mic and she tells Paige that despite everything, she respects Paige. She loves Paige. And, well, even though Paige earlier said that basically she was dedicating this match to her little AJ, because she respects and loves her, AJ is going to dedicate her life to Paige. And, well, all she needs to do is go in the ring and shake Paige's hand. So AJ gets in the ring, and Paige decides to run away.
As they said, you can't out crazy. And Paige, honey, you've opened a can of beans that you did not want to open.
Nope. So it's now time for the championship celebration for the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Brock Lesnar. As Triple H came down, and, well, he says it's time to show the people the new symbol of the WWE, the future. The symbol of future is the brand new WWE World Heavyweight Championship. It's all shiny and stuff. All the belts are shiny.
It's the same belt with the new logo on it.
But it's missing the word champion.
Well, because they don't have the space in the bottom anymore.
I know.
That's the thing, is the swoosh on the bottom is bigger, so they don't have room for it.
Looks very nice. Very nice and shiny. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H introduced the new WWE champion, Brock Lesnar. They had a photographer in the ring as they did a photo op for everybody in the crowd. Take photos. Hey, it's brand new champ right here. Paul Heyman then introduced himself and says he's the one behind the one who conquered the one who thought that he was the one to beat the one in 21-1.
That's a lot of ones.
Last night at SummerSlam, his client not just beat John Cena didn't just victimize. He conquered the title holder, which affords him, Paul Heyman, the opportunity to proclaim himself as the advocate for the brand new reigning and defending undisputed WWE heavyweight champion of the world, Brock Lesnar. Now it's time to get down to business. His client has authorized him to tell a secret the authority has not authorized to say, but John Cena is not here. No. John Cena would be here, but he sort of can't physically. That is thanks to his client, Brock Lesnar. Brock tells Paul Heyman he loves hearing him say that, so we heard Brock Lesnar again, and Brock Lesnar was all giddy throughout the segment. Paul says that he's been in the industry since 14, and he's never had seen an ass-kicking like John Cena took at the hands of Brock Lesnar. We talk about a top superstar. We are talking about the top superstar of a generation. Rock was here for like three and a half years? Steve Austin was on top for about four and a half? There have been one constant over the last 10 years, and that man has been John Cena. Give credit where credit is due. Any man after 30 seconds would have given up the title to fight another day, but not John Cena. Paul said he witnessed the suffering on John Cena's face, and he truly understood. We never got it before. He could never understand why so many people who loved John Cena. Paul Heyman says his kids are John Cena fans, and that pisses him off. John Cena was taking his vicious beating and coming back for more. When John says never give up, he means never give up. Paul says that John has earned his admiration and respect, and says he would love to make John a Paul Heyman guy if he had the time. If you write the history of WWE before Brock Lesnar pinned John Cena, John would have gone down as the best fighting champion in WWE history. In Brock's world, John entered the ring as a hero and walked out a martyr. Martyrdom does not equal street cred. The person who with the most street cred doesn't win. That person dies with the most street cred still dies at the hands of the conqueror, Brock Lesnar. Just like the Undertaker's streak died at the hands of Brock Lesnar, the Undertaker's career died at the hands of Brock Lesnar. Hustle, loyalty, and respect died at the hands of Brock Lesnar, and the C-Nation died as well at the hands of Brock Lesnar. And Paul Heyman continued.
And here's the problem. The same fate awaits any man that walks into the beast's lair and tries to take away from Brock Lesnar the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And it's almost an unfair fight to begin with, because anybody that steps into this ring is just a challenger, just a man. My client is not a man. My client is the Beast! And this beast will lay wreckage to any man that tries to take that title away from him. Which means the same beating awaits, which makes every single title defense by Brock Lesnar not only must see, but can't miss. Now, if you're too cheap, or too stupid, or too blind, or too ignorant to spend $9.99 on the WWE Network, let me tell you what happened last night. My client, Brock Lesnar, imposed his will on John Cena. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what they call basic Brockonomics. Eat. Sleep, suplex, repeat. 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 Brock Lesnar lives by the motto, eat, sleep, suplex, repeat. Eat, sleep, F5, repeat. Eat, sleep, victimize, repeat. Eat, sleep, beat, repeat. Eat, sleep, conquer, John Cena.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman was on fire.
Eat, sleep, conquer, repeat, suplex, repeat, over. Yeah, he was on fire. Holy crap. Paul Heyman is epic.
And you knew he was loving it. Brock was just getting a kick out of Paul.
He was. He just sat there laughing the entire time.
Because it's like, you know what? Who can... Literally, it's... Okay, John Cena's going to come back and he's going to challenge for his rematch. And Mil Mans makes the point again. Who goes after Lesnar then? Who in the WWE right now can take Brock Lesnar down? And the answer is absolutely freaking nobody. Nobody can touch Brock Lesnar. He's going to be champion until the end of time.
And he should be.
And he should be. Or will he be? Because, well, there's a Guardian of the Galaxy who's set to make his return any time now.
Yes, yes, he is.
And he was afforded, or he was promised a title shot at WrestleMania, and while he got one, it was not the one he was promised. So, could Batista come back and challenge Brock?
We're going to have to wait and find out. And when that happens, yeah.
Here's the thing. John Cena, bone up on your suplexes. Like, a lot. Because, yeah, there were 15 Germans last night?
15 Germans and one suplex, or 16 suplexes.
And two F5s.
Only two.
Only two. Took three to beat The Undertaker. Only two for John Cena.
So there you have that. Up next, non-title match. Oh, no, it's actually a title match. My bad. Title match, rematch from SummerSlam. The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. The story of the match was Ziggler hurt his knee last night, and The Miz focused on it throughout the matchup. Ziggler was hurt on the outside and couldn't get back in to beat the count, so he got counted out. Miz wins by countout. Ziggler retains the title. Ziggler came back in the ring and hit the zigzag on The Miz. I should say Miz rolled him back in the ring, and then he hit the zigzag and he got help to the back. Good match.
Very good match. Very solid match.
Different match than last night. They told a different story, which is good. Very good to see. We then have Renee Young talking with Jack Swagger. She asked Jack to take a look at what happened at SummerSlam. He asked how he's doing after the loss to Rusev. He said he had a chance to defend the country he loves, but he failed. When things get hard, you join together. He says he will do whatever what every real American does when their back's against the wall. He will come out swinging because that's who he is. Which led to Cesaro versus Jack Swagger. And the story of this was not the match, because it was a fine match between the two. They always have a good match. It was JBL on commentary just blasting poor Swagger for not standing up for his country last night.
Oh, he was livid. He was absolutely livid. It was amazing.
Yeah, go back, if you can, go back and listen to the commentary for this match, because JBL was just on fire. With a thumb to the eye and a neutralizer, Cesaro picks up the win. Yeah, Cesaro beats Swagger.
And that made JBL rant a little bit more.
And then, well, time for some inspiration.
Finally, a breath of fresh air. We need somebody inspirational.
$318 million. That's how many Americans that were let down at SummerSlam. When you lost that flag match to Rusev. And look at you now. Look at you now. losing again. You've lost your manager, Zeb Coulter. You've lost all self-respect. You've lost your dignity. But you can get it all back. You can get it all back. You just have to believe.
He's such a dork, I swear to God. For the record, Bo, he did not lose Zeb. Zeb is on vacation.
Zeb's probably going, ow, my head.
Yeah, he kind of got kicked in the head last night, so, you know, he's probably not feeling too good. Just pointing that out. But yeah, it's like, I thought that whole promo, I'm like, run, Bo, shut up and run. Just shut up and run. Why are you not running? Are you stupid?
Bo Dallas back on Monday Night Raw, and the fans were behind Mr. Bo Dallas, which is great.
Don't give up on him.
The fans at Believe, you should believe too. Renee Young talks with Chris Jargo. She asks Chris about how he feels after losing at SummerSlam. Chris says that he realized that after facing dozens of Hall of Famers, he's never faced anyone like Bray Wyatt. That upside down spider walk is the most disturbing thing he has ever seen. There's an emptiness inside Bray Wyatt, though. When Bray said he was already dead, he is dead inside. Chris said that he's not dead inside. He has three things. He has the fire inside him to be the best in the world at what he does. He has the fighting spirit. And he has the best fans in the WWE. He knows that every Jerichoholic will be behind him no matter what he does. That is something that Bray Wyatt and no other human being in the world can ever take away from him.
Stop.
Go ahead.
It left me a little confused. Because they're going for three on this one, right?
Yes. What's the idea?
So it's like, okay, this left me a little bit confused because it's like Jericho seems very accepting that Wyatt got his goat, unless Jericho has something up his sleeve. And again, I know it's going to be another slow burn because they have 5 weeks, but it's just like,
huh.
You wouldn't expect this to be Jericho's reaction to losing to Bray Wyatt, especially seeing as Jericho thought that he had Bray Wyatt right where he wanted him.
I think Chris Jericho's reflecting. He thought he had the advantage because the one thing Bray has that Jericho doesn't have that he didn't mention, family. Bray has family.
But Jericho cut off his family, and Bray still won.
Exactly. So it's like...
Bray has a family, but he doesn't need his family.
Right. So it's like, he thought he cut... He had the advantage, but again, not to be. So we'll see where things go. And I have a feeling we're going to hear some more in just a little bit. Up next, six-man tag team action. Randy Orton, Curtis Axel, and Ryback versus Roman Reigns, Sheamus, and Rob Van Dam. Feed me more. We want Ryback. Ryback rules. Holy crap. The fans in Vegas wanted them some Ryback tonight.
Yeah, he's from there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's his hometown.
Oh, I know. It was a big... they were all for Ryback tonight, and Randy Orton even got... thought it was humorous, and yeah. He got excited for Ryback a little bit. The finish, which was kind of surprising, Rob Van Dam hit the 5-star frog splash on Curtis Axel for the victory. Rob Van Dam wins for his team, not Roman Reigns. A little surprised by that one.
Mm-hmm. Very surprised.
Because it seemed like, oh, he was setting up for the Superman punch, but he got cut off, and then Van Dam got tagged in. And you go from there, it's like, They're building Roman, but they didn't let him win the six-man. Rob Van Dam did. Which is leading to Rob Van Dam versus Randy Orton on SmackDown, which should be good.
Right, which should see Roman interfere. Unless Roman's done with Randy and then they have to move him on to somebody else, which I don't know who you would move Roman on to at this point.
I'm not quite sure. Randy Orton's in the back. He gets stopped by Ric Flair. He wants to talk about Roman Reigns. Randy tells Rick to stay out of his way unless he wants to know why they call him the Legend Killer. Dum, dum, dum.
It's my mistake, but didn't Randy face Rick in a Legend Killer match? At the start of his career?
After Evolution, probably. Yeah.
I was going to say, he's like, or I'll teach you why I'm the Legend Killer. Dude, you already faced him. You beat him. Like, a couple times.
Last night, at SummerSlam, a pale horse cometh for you, Chris. And the rider, well, his name was Wyatt. And I warned you, man. I told you that this would happen. And after all, I am a man of my word. And Jericho claims that he looked in my eyes last night and says that he saw nothing. Emptiness. And I got to thinking, well, Chris, maybe you're right. Maybe I don't have a soul. Maybe my only place on this earth is to collect them. And they are merely playthings to me. But one thing is for certain, Chris, that you will never, ever, ever truly be able to comprehend what I am. Behold, the new face of salvation.
Well, Bray seems very pleased with himself.
Doesn't he?
But we need to talk about not the promo, because the promo is pretty stock standard from Bray.
Right.
Pretty expected from Bray. Again, he has nothing to prove. He beat Jericho single-handedly. He's on cloud nine right now. What we need to talk about are the lights. Because I'd like to point out, they didn't show the crowd, when they did show the crowd and they showed Bray on the screen, you saw just an edge of the crowd, and they were holding the lights up for Bray, even though he wasn't there. That's pretty damn cool.
That is pretty damn cool. So stock standard for Bray, he's very confident, and we'll see where things go from there.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to know how they issue the next challenge between Jericho and Bray. Unless somebody's got something up their sleeve.
And Bray always has something up his sleeve. Always.
Never fails.
Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso, the Usos, the tag team champions, take on Goldust and Stardust in a non-title match. A solid matchup between the two teams. But in the end, Stardust and Goldust beat the tag team champs. Looks like we have new contenders for the gold. And maybe,
I guess we do.
And maybe that's the cosmic key?
I would guess so.
Possibly. Lana and Rusev make their way to the ring. Lana says at SummerSlam, Rusev dedicated his match to Mother Russia and its leader, Vladimir Putin. President Putin is so proud of Rusev as our flag was raised high as a symbol of victory, patriotism, and supremacy. Then Mark Henry came out. Mark asked Lana and Rusev if they hear that because that is American pride. He says that he has had the honor of representing his country twice in the Olympic Games. Those will be two of his proudest moments. He never had a problem with anyone who believed in their country and flag except for you two jackasses. Mark says it got under his skin last night to see the flag raised in his country. He says that made him sick to his stomach. He tells Lana he's not talking to her. Rusev says that the power in America is gone, but Mark does not think so. He tells Rusev to listen up, boy. He will give Rusev a personal guided tour into the Hall of Pain. They have a fight. Henry blocks a kick. Rusev goes, ow, my ankle. and takes the world's strongest slam, followed by a big splash. So Rusev gets laid out by Mark Henry tonight.
And Lana did not look happy.
Her man got crushed, and she was not happy.
But yeah, I was sitting here watching it, and I'm like, really? You already squashed the Wyatts? Do you have to squash Rusev too?
Apparently.
Not okay. It's not okay.
Not okay.
I'm okay with Rusev getting squished. I'm not okay with the Wyatts.
I know.
Just pointing that out.
Main event time, as the WWE Universe has decided that it will be a Falls Count Anywhere match between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. And when they mean Falls Count Anywhere, they went everywhere in the arena. They brawled around. We had weapons. We had canes. We had tables. We had an actual corporate cane as well. We had a nice superplex into a table. We had a powerbomb into a bunch of chairs. Kane, again, corporate Kane came out at one point. He broke up pinfalls of Ambrose, and then things got very, very serious. As Kane chokeslams Ambrose on the table, Ambrose gets curb stomped onto the table.
Ow.
But they were not done. Cinder blocks magically appeared. They were sitting under a table at ringside. And Kane laid Ambrose's head right down on the cinder blocks, and he ate a curb stomp into the cinder blocks. The match was stopped. Seth Rollins wins. Dean Ambrose was dead. # blame Rob.
This match, if you did not see this match, for the love of God, go find it. This was a pay-per-view level match. It was that good. They, like Rock said, they went everywhere. They went all over the arena. We saw canes. We saw chairs. We saw tables. We saw cinder blocks. And there's that moment of disbelief where you're sitting there and you're watching the match. It's coming up to the end. And they've curb stomped Dean Ambrose's head into the table. By the way, he also got choke slammed into the table. It didn't break either time. So you know that hurt like hell.
Yeah.
And they pull away this, like, wooden box to reveal the cinder blocks. And you just see them and you're thinking, no. No, they're not going to do that. This is PG. They're not going to do that. No, oh my God, they're setting him up. Oh my holy God. When he went through. When they basically did the curb stomp onto the cinder blocks, and the cinder blocks just disintegrated under Dean. It was just something of holy crap. It was literally one of those holy crap moments.
It was. And so long, Dean, you're just gone. His career's over, if you listen to JBL and King.
And I like how they sold it. I like the seriousness of it. I like how the EMTs came out right away to check on Dean, make sure he was okay, while Kane and Seth just kind of got their shit together and left without a care. It's like basically mission achieved. Dean Ambrose is now out of the picture for the foreseeable future, which he will be because he's going off to shoot his movie. So, he will be back in probably a month to 6 weeks to get his revenge on Seth Rollins, however that happens, because this is going to lead to one more, and I think a month to 6 weeks puts him really close to Hell in a Cell, doesn't it?
5 weeks is Night of Champions, so he's got some time to get to the Cell, because that takes it to October.
Yeah, because I've already heard people calling for Seth and Dean to go in the Cell, and it's like, yes. Yes, somebody make this happen.
If any match needs to be in a Cell,
it's Seth and Dean. It really, really, really is. They could probably put together one hell of a match.
Because one of them will be stupid enough to climb to the top.
Yep, and one or both will be stupid enough to jump off the top.
So we will see. It was a very interesting addition of Monday Night Raw. We'll see who the next challenger is for Brock Lesnar. Is it John Cena? We will have to find out. But that does it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're back every Monday night, right after Monday Night Raw, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. But on Thursdays, we're live with The Rock at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in to hear our reactions to Sunday's exciting SummerSlam. We're going to be breaking down all the matches and let you know what we liked, what we didn't like. So maybe our win-fail for the show. Hey, how about that? We're also going to be talking about NXT. We'll have, I'm sure, lots of news. We are going to be talking all about as well the WWE 2K15 roster reveal, at least the partial roster reveal. And we'll let you know who's in the game and who might be appearing in the game. So you definitely don't want to miss that. Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Check out RecRadioShow.com. And if you're so kind and want to buy something from WWE Shop, click the banner and buy it, because that helps us. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We play cards against humanity before a show, but it's weird, wacky, unusual at midnight-ish, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be doing a SummerSlam review, picks for the Emmys, and the VMAs probably as well, and of course, hashtag Blame Rob. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigRobotsAndBandanas. Sunday night is Wrestle Talk Radio, Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega. Hopefully all three will be on the show together talking about the week in pro wrestling. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday night and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw post show, 11-10 p.m. Eastern. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. And as always, you can get the show live on TuneIn Radio. Just get the app. It's free. And just search for Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWARD. You can go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. Check that out. You can also go to my Behance, Behance.net/Lynn's Ward. Same as the Twitter. Good Lord, I can't talk.
Twitter.
The Twitters. I'm a little tired. Where you can check out my artwork, including the two new After Effects commercials that I threw up over the weekend. So you don't want to miss that.
Thanks to PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack. Right back here every Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com.